Started. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity again in your house once again. A chance to be able to come together as a family of yours, a chance to be able to study your word, a chance to lift up these songs of praise and help us to grow closer to you. Please open our hearts and minds now as we get into your word and give us the message you would want us to receive. And then encourage us to turn around and share that with others. Thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct all of it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Lost hope. A time of lost hope or living in lost hope. Seems like it's the age that we're in these days. Accounts and prayer requests for youth that are attempting suicide or even committing suicide. So much depression amongst people today. It's just like you're going around with no hope. They've lost hope in life, lost hope of the future. They've been promised so many things by the world, by their families, by the government, even by schools or their jobs or whatever, and their relationships. They think they have these long-term committed relationships when they're starting grade school or high school, and something happens to that, and they just think their whole life is just over. And some of them do take their life. They commit suicide. They don't have hope. If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible explains this. It lets us know what is wrong. It lets us know what we as Christians can do to help those that have no hope. Even those Christians out there that have lost hope, what's the problem with that as well? We can always find guidance in the Scriptures. So now if you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, reads, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." And that's the condition they find themselves. Without the covenants, they have no commitment, they have no contract with the Lord, and they have no hope because they don't have God. And they're in this world of all of these pressures and all the struggles, all the distractions, all the sadness that is out there in the world. And what do they have to look forward to? Those that don't even believe and trust in the Lord think they are merely evolved creatures, that they evolved from a rock. So if you look at their theory of evolution, that's what it all goes back to. They all think they came from a rock. That rock got rained on by something that decided to come to life on its own. And then an asteroid hit the earth, and a comet sprinkled some more stuff on that. And then even some believe aliens dropped by and did a few things. And just these bizarre beliefs. And that when you die, you just go back into the world. You become part of the circle of life. And it's no hope in that. There is no hope. When they don't know and understand that they are created in the image of God, and that they are eternal, and that there is another realm. There is eternal life or eternal death in punishment in the lake of fire. If they don't know that they are eternal creatures, then I could see how they would not have any hope if something wasn't going their way. If they don't have anything to look forward to in the next realm, even if they was to live a full life here and live to be 100 or 110 or 120, what are they going to do with that? As the numbers click by, it gets more and more to the end, to where they're going to just go back into the dust and be nothing? And when they have that attitude, a lot of evil can come into them. And that evil spawns more hopelessness and despair, all because they don't have God. They don't have the promises from God because they have not received them. They have not believed them. They have not trusted in them. We, as Christians, have such an awesome event to look forward to as Christians. Of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which gives us some of that hope to look forward to when Jesus Christ will come back again and receive us unto Himself. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Those that think they're just dying and going back into the earth, becoming part of the universe, they don't have any hope of eternal life. So they're sorrowful when they are approaching death, to the point where they're scared. They're without hope. They don't have anything to anticipate for eternity. They live their lives day by day. Because they have no hope. They sorrow. When others fall asleep, as it says here, we're talking about dying. But I would not have you be... But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, means those that have passed away, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We as Christians should not be that way. We should not be without hope. We should not be sorrowful when we're about to die, because we should be anticipating what we're looking forward to, eternity, being with the Lord, everlasting life. Granted, you can be a little bit sorrowful because you're leaving your family behind and no longer going to be able there to guide them, to assist them, to help them, to show them Jesus Christ and the hope. In that sense, yes. But in another sense, you should be rejoicing and so much of a positive attitude that you're helping others know that there is hope, there is life everlasting, it's available to them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort them, comfort each other, knowing what you have to look forward to. If you're going to be alive at this event, which is talking about the rapture, that's a spectacular event. You can be a part of that. You can be caught up. And don't be without hope of where your loved ones are that were born again. Because they're going to be coming back and getting their glorified bodies right before you. And that's what he's talking about here. So we have that to be hopeful for. And you think, well, wait a minute. What is this hope? What does hope even mean? Well, if you do a dictionary definition of hope, one of them is to have confidence, trust with earnest expectation of good. Or another one, confidence in a future event or in the future disposition or conduct of some person. Trust, especially a high or holy trust. Do you really trust in the Lord? If you do, then you have that hope. And hope is desire with expectation of getting what is desired or belief that it is obtainable. So, if you truly have received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then He will fill you with that hope, because then you have that expectation of getting what you desire, and that is the rewards that He's going to give you for eternity and a home in heaven for eternity. And genuine hope is not wishful thinking. It's like, well, I hope, and you're just thinking and wishing. Because a lot of people use the word hope in that way. It's like, well, I hope it rains today because my garden is really drying up. That's really not true hope. It's a wishful desire. But if it is true hope, it would be an earnest expectation that it is going to rain. More faith, more emotion in it. The genuine hope is not wishful thinking, but a firm assurance about things that are unseen and still in the future. So if you have true hope in God, in the Lord Jesus, in your salvation, in eternity, in everlasting life, in your home in heaven, in the new beginning, the new creation that we're going to have with all the beautiful things that you're going to have on the new planet and the new heaven, that is true hope. That is that genuine, firm trust and belief in the event is going to take place. That is where genuine hope comes in. And you can have that if you fully trust in the Lord. We have perfect examples of people in the Scriptures that have lost their hope because of events that are taking place in their life. Of course, one of the more famous ones would have to be Job. Where Job was saying in his writings, if you look at Job chapter 7, verses 1 through 21, he goes into quite a bit of detail about it. But part of that says, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. He was at a point where he was wishing he would just go on and die because he was suffering that much. In Job chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, if you will turn over there, he goes into a little bit more of a statement here about that in verse 18. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? It's like, Lord, why was I even born? Or that I had given up the ghost that no eye had seen me. Like, I should have just been born dead because he was in such misery. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. That man was in great despair. He was at the verge of having no hope. He did not lose his faith and trust in the Lord, but he had lost his hope of having a life here, of enjoying the next breath, and was gone, all that despair. Jonah felt this. Even after spending that time in the belly of that fish, praying to God, asking for mercy and forgiveness, and the Lord letting him come out of that fish spewed him out onto the shore, and he went and did the job that he had set before him. But the outcome wasn't exactly like he wanted it to come. So he got depressed because things didn't work out the way he thought they should work out. He got so miserable that he sat down and wanted to die. In Job chapter 4, verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. He got that depressed because God didn't do things his way, thinking that he should be the one making the decisions. Wrong attitude to take. If you're praying for something to come out, and it's not working out the way you want, and you're a Christian, don't wind up like Job or Jonah in a time of despair because you were losing your hope. You're actually losing your trust and faith in the Lord. That He's the one in control. He's the sovereign King of all. He's the one who's in charge of everything, including your life. So don't fall into that despair. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what's that saying? That says, get into the Word, study the Word, you'll find out reasons to be hopeful. You'll find these awesome examples of people that were in moments of despair and how the Lord saw them through that. In terrible times, people in prison being tortured, some of them really anguishing in it. And others rejoicing and singing songs because they had full and total control of their emotions that is within them, and they trusted in the Lord completely, and they were able to go through even the hardest times with a smile on their face and praising the Lord through all of it. Perfect example of a good testimony. And someone who has the hope and have held on to that, that trust in that it would come to be. And we need to turn around and share that with others. And we need to let the world out here know, the depressed world that is lost and without hope. The words that are so famous in John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." If we know that, memorize that, share that with others, hand it out in a Bible tract, teach them, ask them to come to church, invite them in, let them hear the words of God, then they can have that comfort of the Scriptures, that they might have hope, like it says in Romans. Trust in the Scriptures, trust in the Word of God, trust in the Holy Ghost is within you. If you're a Christian, put full and complete control of your life in God's hands. Not try to do it your own way and be upset because it's not working out the way you want it to. Because then, yeah, you're going to feel like, well, what good is this? What good is life? Why don't you just go ahead and take me on home, Lord? This is miserable. I'm fed up with this. Just take me on home. And I've heard Christians tell me that in time when they have financial problems or marital problems or health problems. Most commonly I hear that from people who have health problems. Like, Lord, just take me on home. I'm tired of this. I'm in pain. It's bringing my family down. It's costing money. Just take me on home. And they pray to die. Instead of praying, Lord, help me see what is in this situation, the opportunity that is within this to bring honor and glory to You. And utilize that all the way through to the end. That is the example of a true anticipation of what is yet to come, and that is hope. And that gives people around you that example so that you can help others out there in the world know what there is to look forward to, because He tells us so many times in His Word what to look forward to. And these in chapter 14 of John are awesome words that we can look forward to. In John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Awesome words that you should memorize and you should share with others whenever there's any despair. You know what you have to look forward to. If you're going to be here at that day of rapture, He's coming back to get us. He's gone to prepare a place for us. So where He is, we will be also. That is awesome to look forward to. That is the hope that we need to share with others and encourage others with. Once again, if we turn to the Scriptures, we can find that guidance. We can find that hope as He tells us. Where are we going to find His commandments? In His Scriptures. In listening to Him. Praying and communicating. John chapter 15, verse 10. "If ye keep My commandments, ye shall abide in My love, even as I have kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." If you have lost some of your joy, if you have lost the joy of your salvation, like we have excellent examples of in the Scriptures, what do you need to do? You need to get back on a straight and narrow. You need to take it to the Lord. You need to ask forgiveness. You have to ask for guidance. You need to be listening to the Holy Ghost, not quenching the Holy Ghost. You need to return to the Scriptures. Study them in depth so that you can have the understanding of why there is hope, what to look forward to, what to share with others so they also can have hope. Because the reason they don't have any hope is because they don't have Jesus Christ in their heart. There isn't anything to hope for if all you are is evolved rock from a pond scum into some amoeba, into some other life form on up to a monkey. Then you evolve from a monkey. And what do you are? You're just an animal. And you're going to die and go into the dust and that's it. You can see why people are so down. And they have no hope, no despair. Because that's the junk they believe. That's the junk they're taught in school. That's the junk they're taught on TV. That's the junk that you hear every single day. You cannot go by any day without hearing some kind of reference to either billions of years, millions of years, evolution, and all this garbage that is destroying everybody's hope. Then it becomes just brutal battle, survival of the fittest. Who can be the strongest to overtake and overpower someone else? Steal everything you can to get it to be yours. Overpower others and dominate them and misuse them and abuse them. Why bother being good when you can achieve all this and take all this from others because you're stronger? And they have people out here with attitudes like that because they have no hope of eternal life. All because they have not trusted in Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. Have not acknowledged Him as the great Creator who spoke everything into existence, created us for a reason. They've lost all that. Philippians chapter 4. When we as Christians start to be despairing, when we start to get down, we need to turn to the Lord, as He tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Does it say rejoice when everything's going great? When everything's working out just exactly like you want it to work out, then rejoice. That's not what it says. It says always. All the time, even when things are messed up, when they're falling apart, when they're totally chaotic, when you're in pain, when you're suffering, when the doctor says you've got 3 days to live, say amen, praise the Lord. You know, not, it's just terrible. No, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. We are witnesses. Our testimony is very important. Our attitude is very important. When we walk around all the time, all doom and gloom, and we're the Christian, and then the world's looking at us, it's like, why would they want to be one like that? Everything's going wrong in their life, just totally chaotic. Don't want nothing to do with that. The Lord is at hand. You've got to understand, He is here. He is taking control of our life. If we will let Him take that full realm and yield to that, He'll take that and guide us, give us that. In verse 6, be careful for nothing. It means don't be overly concerned about things. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, pray, ask Him, let Him know what you need. Saying it's okay for that. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thank Him for it before He even gives it to you. And now here's the good one here. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. That will come to you. It will be unexplainable. Other people will not know why you are smiling when going through such a terrible event until you tell them, let them know. It's because Jesus Christ lives right here inside of me. Because I have home in heaven to look forward to. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. If you're going around all the time thinking about all the doom and gloom and all the horrible things that are going on in your life, what are you going to be thinking about? All that, and what's it going to do? It's going to affect your attitude. It's going to affect your whole image. But if you're going around always thinking about what there is to look forward to, what there is for eternity, remember, this is just temporary. This is part-time down here. This is a stepping stone into everlasting life. So let's keep our eyes on everlasting life. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. On what we have to look forward to. And then you'll get that peace that passeth all understanding. And you'll have that hope that you can then share with others that have no hope. 1 Peter chapter 3, one verse here, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You've got to be ready to be able to tell people. When you have that hope within you and you're going out into this world that has lost hope, and they're seeing that in you and hearing that in you, it's like you've got to be ready to tell them what it is about. You've got to study the Scriptures and show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. By studying the word, you'll be able to give them that answer. In Romans chapter 15, verse 3, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's there for the taking. It's available. Because if you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost within you. By the power of the Holy Ghost, He can fill you with hope. So much hope that you'll be able to share that with this world that has no hope. And be able to let them know if you are ready to do that. And you need to be ready always. How do you do that? You've got to study the Word. So get into the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He'll fill you with the hope so much that it's going to overflow and you can reach this world that has lost hope. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It is so much encouragement in there. Help us to always stay hungry to dig deep into the Scriptures. And when we're in this life of despair, to not be worried about all that, to look at what we have to look forward to, being with You for eternity. You told us that in Your Word, and we know You are true and You never lie, and it is all going to be just exactly like You've told us. So help us to have that, and help us to share that with others. Thank You so much. Lead, guide, direct it so that it always brings honor and glory to You, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.